Okay. Today is Daf Kufches. We're on Daf Kufches. We're up to the Mishnah. Brand new Perek. Eighth Perek of Baba Basra. This Perek is entirely about Yerusha. Nothing to do with what we've done. It's related because we've been talking about the whole Mesechta has been talking about transferring property from A to B. Right? So it's really just an extension of that, but it's via Yerusha. The difference between Yerusha and everything else is, by Yerusha there's no kinyan. There's no kinyan. So someone passes away, a father, it's the normal situation, a father passes away, yarshins to a son, he bequeaths to a son, and there is no kinyan. The son automatically owns it. There's a big shayla achronim, how does Yerusha work? Is it that the son automatically has the rights to the property, or the father is the one who's yarshining the property? In other words, when a ger who doesn't have any children dies, what happens? The property becomes hefker. Upon his death, the property becomes hefker. Why? There's no way to inherit. He's a ger, he's considered a new bria, doesn't have a parent, doesn't have anybody, never married, a bachelor. When he dies, there's nobody there. So what happens to the property? It becomes hefker. So is that true with all property? Anytime someone dies, it becomes hefker, but the Torah steps in and says, no, give it to the son. Is that how it works? Really the father, who's the one who's going to die, it's his right that the property, he's the baal of the property, and when he dies, he's yarshining it to his son. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is, can the father say something different? Can the father say, when I die, I want it to go to her. I want it to go to, I don't want pishnayim. I don't like my bechor. If it goes on the children, he has no right to say that. Why? Because it doesn't belong to him. When he dies, it's like hefker. Torah steps in and says, no, it goes to the children. But if he's in the power, he's in control, he can do what he wants. Why should I be bound by the Torah's rules to give it to my son? I don't like that son. I want to give it to the other one. So that's a running theme that we're going to discuss throughout the whole parak. Just to touch on it right now, that's a shaila. How do you view Yerusha? Is it on the Yorshim or on the Morish, it's called? The guy who's doing it. Okay. Now we can actually start the Mishnah. Yesh nochalin umanchilin. There are those who inherit from somebody else, and they can bequeath. They inherit, and they also give to inheritance. Yesh nochalin. There are those who inherit. They inherit property from someone who dies. But v'lo manchilin. But they, if they were to die, they would not bequeath to someone else. Okay? Then there are those, manchilin, there are those who can bequeath, but v'lo nochlin, they don't inherit. And then you have the last category, lo nochlin, v'lo manchilin. People that don't inherit and don't bequeath. Now obviously, the last category, we're only talking about relatives. Of course, I don't have nothing to do with your Yerusha, right? You, not related. Obviously, the last category is talking about people that are relatives, and even though they're relatives, they still know Yerusha. Why? You'll see why. So the fundamental principle that's going to be running through the perek is you never. You know what? I'll hold off on that one. Let's keep going. Now that the Mishnah lists the four categories, the Mishnah is going to break them up and go to each one step by step. The Elu Nochalin Umanchilin. These are the ones who inherit someone else. In other words, they inherit and they also can give. Who are those? Ha'av es habanim, a father and children. V'habanim es ha'av, children and a father. So for example, let's say Yaakov has 12 children. But he only has one. Let's say there's Reuven. Make it simple. Just Yaakov has Reuven. Yaakov dies, Reuven inherits. Reuven dies, and Reuven doesn't have any of his own children. Yaakov inherits. Right? Yaakov dies, Reuven inherits. Reuven dies, Yaakov inherits. Now, if Yaakov dies, the first person to inherit is Reuven. Why? Children come first. Why? We're going to see why. Doesn't say it in the Torah that children come first, but we know they do. If Reuven dies, Yaakov's not the first. The first are Reuven's children. The second are Reuven's father, Yaakov. That also doesn't say that in the Torah. That's also going to be learned out of Midrashim. Right? Again, Yaakov can bequeath, Reuven can inherit Yaakov, and Yaakov can inherit Reuven. It goes back in both directions. Okay? Good? also va'abanim es ha'av, by both directions, va'achin min ha'av, also brothers from the father. So let's say Reuben died, and he doesn't have any children, and Yaakov's also not alive. So who's next? Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar. They all have the same father. They don't have the same mother. Don and Naphtali and Gad and Asher don't have the same mother. Doesn't make a difference. Yerusha only goes by the father. That was the rule I was going to say. It only goes by the father. You can inherit your mother. So I didn't want to say there's no women in the picture at all. You can inherit your mother. But when the order is first your children, then your father, then your brothers. Which brothers? Only from the father. Okay? That's Nochlin Umanchilin. That goes in both directions. So for example, if Reuven dies, Shimon will inherit. Again, if Reuven has no children and no father. And if Shimon dies, Reuven will inherit him. It goes both ways. That's the case of those who inherit and those who can bequeath. Tosfos asked, why didn't we say also an uncle? Because, in other words, that would be Reuven died. Doesn't have any children. He doesn't have any children. Yaakov's not alive. Shimon and Levi and Sachar, none of them are alive either. Who's next? Next one's Esav. His father's brother. They inherit his uncle. Right? Why isn't that here? So Tosfos says, that's obvious. It's obvious. If the order... What?
Nobody left.
Exactly. If it's obvious. If the father, if the son, the father, the brothers, then who's next? The father's brother. It's an obvious next step. The Mishnah didn't have to bother with it. And that'll go both ways. If Esav dies, if Esav has no relatives, same thing. Esav's children, Esav's father, Esav's brothers, the next one will be Reuven. His father's children. Nephew, right, exactly. Never goes to the mother's side. Right? The mother's side will never inherit. Okay? Now, the next one. Ha'ish es imo, a man and his mother. Right? In other words, Leah dies. Who inherits Leah? So the first person that inherits Leah is her husband. Right? Leah's husband's Yaakov. Let's say Yaakov's not alive. Who goes next? Reuven. Right? The son. Ha'ish es imo. Va'ish es ishto. A man and his wife. Right?
What does it say mother first if it goes to the Isha? What does it say mother first if it goes to the Isha?
Why does it say mother first?
Yeah, if it goes to the wife first. Shouldn't it say wife first?
It doesn't go to the wife first. We're trying to show cases where you inherit from somebody else, but you don't bequeath to them. If Reuven dies, his mother Leah never inherits. This is the next case. If Reuven dies, Leah never inherits. If Reuven dies, Reuven's wife never inherits. Never. That's a case of Nochlin. They inherit from them, but they never bequeath. If Leah dies, Ha'ish es imo, a man and his mother. Meaning, if Leah dies, Reuven inherits. If Leah dies, Reuven the son inherits. Also, Ha'ish es ishto. If a wife dies, the husband inherits. By the way, that's one of the pointed out. It doesn't say a ben es imo. It says a ish es imo to be parallel with Ha'ish es ishto, a husband and a wife. You're not a husband to your mother. You're a son. You're a ben. But since it says ish as ishto, for parallel, for consistency, it says ish as emo. Okay? And the third case is b'nei achayos. Use my focus what this means. The Rashbam's second shot is the easier one. That's all I'm going to follow, which is as follows. Here's the case. The Rashbam says as follows. Let's say the children of Dina, right? Dina's Reuben's sister. They have the same father, they also have the same mother. But that's irrelevant. Reuven, so the children of Dina marry some guy, right? And they have children. Okay? So B'nai Dina, they will inherit Reuven. Okay? If Reuven has no other relatives. So Reuven dies, doesn't have any children, doesn't have a father, doesn't have brothers, doesn't have uncles. Who's next? His sister's children will inherit. What?
His nephews and nieces.
His nephews and, not nieces, nephews will inherit. Right? His nephews will inherit. That's B'nai Achayos. But if they die, Reuven will never inherit them. Why? Because the only relation is through a woman. The only relation between Reuben and these children is through his sister. And you don't inherit from a woman. You don't inherit from a woman. You can, but not this case. Follow that? Good? Okay. Right. Okay. Right. And then the Rashbam says, if that's the case, it has to be B'nai Achos, not B'nai Achoyos. He changes the Girsa. He has a first pshat that I didn't understand what he was talking about. It's very complicated. This is a very simple pshat. No, he even said, this is the better pshat. This is a better pshat. It's your nephew. It's a nephew from a woman. Right? So those people will never inherit from the other way. Okay. And those are people of Nochlin. They inherit. They receive. Reuven receives. When his wife dies, Reuven gets all her possessions, but v'lo manchilim. The wife will never inherit from Reuven. Right? Now, right? If Reuven dies, Leah doesn't inherit him. Right? Now, the next case are people that only bequeath and never inherit. It's the exact opposite people. Ha'isha has been a woman and her son. Right? Or Ha'isha is Baila, a woman and her husband. Achei Ha'im, the brothers of the mother, right? In other words, the mother's Dina. Dina's brothers, they will inherit. Those are Manchilin, right? They can bequeath. Dina can bequeath the Reuven, but Velo Nochlin. Never goes the other way around. The Gemara's going to ask, this is redundant. We just said in the previous situation, the previous one of they exact same thing. It's the exact same thing. Just now we look at the first one was the one who gained. He's the one who lose. It's the exact same case. So why do we have to mention both? Now the Gemara will ask that tomorrow, the day after. Now last case number four, ha'achin min ha'aim, brothers from a mother, lo nochlin v'lo manchilin, zero, nothing. Like I said, total strangers also nothing. I'm not talking about strangers. We're not brothers. We're half brothers. We have the same mother. Right? But if you don't have the same father, nothing. Okay? Now, look at the Lo Nochlin V'lo Manchilin. Look at the Rashbam of Lo Nochlin V'lo Manchilin. It's, he has an interesting case. It's halfway through. It's the fifth word on the line that says Kigon. It's on the last Rashbam at the bottom of the page. It's like three lines before the Gemara begins in the Rashbam. Kigon, you see Kigon? It's all the way on the right side of the line. Kigon? You have it there? You see it? Everyone have it? Reuven Shenasa Serach Bas Asher. Reuven marries Asher's daughter. Right? Now Reuven and Asher are related. They have the same father. They don't have the same mother. They both have Yaakov. They don't have the same mother. So Reuven marries his... He basically marries his niece. Right? He marries his niece. Right? And v'yoldelo Naphtali, they have a child. Unaphtali, umes Naphtali below banim, and then he dies. Hare Reuven aviv yarsho. Reuven, his father, inherits. That's the order, right? Naphtali didn't have any children, so who's next? We go up. We go to the father. V'im ein lo av, then Reuven's also not alive. So then what do you do now? Now you go unasatim es nachalaso l'achiv shel Naphtali. You go to Naphtali's brothers, right? V'im ein lo achin. There are none. So who's next? Unasata nachalaso la'achi aviv. Now you go to Reuven's brothers. Right? That was the order. First, your children didn't have any. Father, no. Brothers, no. Who's next? Uncles. Right? Dahainu, Asher, which is Asher, avi'imo. It's also, by the way, it's also the father of the mother. Right? It's Serach's father. Right? V'im ein lo achiv lo aviv, the ein asher kayim. What if he's not alive? Asher's not alive anymore. Now what do you do? Now you go to the next relative. Who's that? Nimtzeis Serach. Dahainu b'nei Asher, o banos Asher, im ein lo banim, dahainu Serach yoreshet es b'na. There is a possibility how she can inherit her son. So the Rashbam says, it could happen. It's very unusual. It's very unusual for none of these other people to be alive. Very unusual, but it is possible. Rashbam just wants to point it out. Thought that was pretty wild. Okay? Says the Gemara. Maishna diktani ha'av es habanim bereisha. why did the Mishnah start off with a tragedy? What's a tragedy? A tragedy is when a son dies before a father. That's the first case. A father inherits a son. Why did the Mishnah start with a tragedy? Why did the Mishnah start off with a normal case? What's a normal case? A father dies. An old, nice, old man, a good, little, good, happy life. He passes away. Who inherits? The son. Why are you starting off with the other case? A guy, a person dies without children. Right? Why are you starting off with a case like that? First of all, listen, habanim es ha'av v'resha. It should have started off with the banim es ha'av. That a children inherit from a father. Chada, first of all, we have a principle that's chuli parnus alamaskin. We don't start off with bad things. We don't start off with bad things. Right? We try not to. Right? We also try not to end with bad things. Right? Both of them are true. We try not to start with a bad thing, and we're trying to end with a bad thing. But oh, also, ksiv, it says, kediksiv, it says, ish kiyamus, when a man dies, kizod, when a man dies, uben einlo, doesn't have any children. Right? That's mashma, that if he had a child, if he had a ben, the ben goes first. So first of all, the pasuk even alludes to it. Second of all, why is somebody going for the bad thing? It never says in the Torah that a son inherits a father. What does it say? If you don't have a son, it goes to the daughter. That's mashma, and if you had a son, the son comes first. That's how we know a son comes first. How do we know, never says in the Torah that a father comes first? That a father, how do we know that? So the Gemara says, so the Gemara answers why we're starting off with a case like this. You know why? Because Vitana, Aidi da Isyale Midrasha Chavivale. Since we figured out with a drasha that a father inherits a son, we put it first. Aye, it's bad mazel, doesn't make a difference. Aye, it's not based on a pasuk, doesn't make a difference. Why? Because if you come up with a chiddush of the Torah, that goes first. Sometimes we say the opposite. Sometimes we say the opposite. Sometimes we say Mishnayos never have drashas. Right? That's why it's not in the Mishnah. But the Gemara Tzchayis points that out. The Gemara sometimes will say that it's opposite Svara, but that's what it says. So, again, it never says in the Torah that a son inherits a father. It never says it. It says if you don't have a son, the daughter comes first. Which means if you do have a son, he comes first. And it never says that a father inherits a son. How do you know that? It's a drasha. It's a drasha. But by the way, what's the drasha? Umay drasha. And the Gemara is going to go through a drasha. Not Tosfos. The Meiri says, the Meiri, the Rabban, others say, why didn't the Torah say straight out that a son, that a father inherits a son? Why didn't the Meiri say that? Why didn't the Torah say that? So the Meiri, the Rabban, both say, because it's taka a sad thing. Torah has to tell you a sad halacha, that a son dies without children, that's a nebuch. Who has to inherit him? His father? Torah didn't want to go into that. Torah didn't want to tell you that. It's an amazing thing. Torah didn't want to tell you halacha, that's sad. Right? He says, his lashon is, Mishum she Yerusha mivuheles. It's a mixed up Yerusha. That's not a normal progression of life. That's not normal. Torah didn't want to tell you that. Therefore, the Torah says that you have to learn it out from Zukim. That's the halacha, but we've got to have the whole learn out of Zukim. To say it in black and white, we don't want to do that. The Torah is going to say, a daughter, yeah, an uncle, a brother. The Torah is going to go through a whole list of who the father I mentioned. Why? Because it's not normal. That's the other Rishonim. I saw over here in the Klei Chemda, because an unbelievable, Klei Chemda was Meir Dan Plotsky. He lived like in the early 20th century. So he wrote a Pirush on Chumash. Nobody ever learns that. I don't know why. And it's five volumes, Klei Chemda. So he says that the reason why it doesn't say either of them. It doesn't say a son, it doesn't say a daughter. It doesn't say a son, it doesn't say a father, both missing. Because, listen to this pshat, Sha'nefesh ha'av v'ha'ben achasi. It's one, a father and a son are like one soul. What does that mean? I'm not sure. The nimtza she'ein kan din yerusha klal. There's no din yerusha. Of course, a father, it's a pashat. The aval, bas, but a daughter, ain't a mamash etzem echad im av. Not the same relationship. A father don't have the same relationship as a father and a son. We could all understand, anyone that has a son, that there is a certain kind of relationship you have with your son that you have with nobody else. That's true. That's true. Lachain, midin yerusha, he zocher min achasa. Of course he's zocher. The dina lereshet rishona kishein ben b'nei shikrov v'biyoser. Why does the daughter come next? Because she's the closest relative, right? So says the Klichemda. You know why it doesn't say it in the Torah? Because it's obvious. you and your son are mamash bound up in what? I once read an article about twins, and the guy who wrote the article was talking about his father, how he felt like he was a twin to his father. Such a relationship he had with his father. It was interesting. It wasn't even a Jewish person. It was a whole issue dedicated to twins, a whole magazine about twins. And the guy's like, my father, my twin's my father. We could all appreciate that, right? You have a certain relationship with your father, in theory, not in practice, in theory. We could all appreciate that. You have a certain kind of, that's exactly what the Klei Chemda is saying. You have a certain bond with your father, which the Torah didn't have to say, of course the son comes first, of course the father comes first, that's Pashut. Okay? Interesting. Says the Zichron Shmuel, I don't know who that is, he says, that's why the Torah, when it uses the Lashon, who comes first? First is the son. Who comes second? A daughter. The daughter comes before the father. Right? You have a son, son inherits. You don't have a son, you have a daughter, she inherits. Then you don't have any children, then we go back to the father. So what are we doing? We're sticking the daughter in before the father? Why are we doing that? According to this doesn't make any sense. Right? So he says, that's why the Torah goes out of its way to say, the ha'avarta, it's the only time the Torah uses that lashon by Yerusha. It doesn't say v'nasata to the uncle, v'nasata to the grandfather. It doesn't say that by the daughter. It says v'havarta, and it'll pass over. We're going out of the normal order. Why? That I don't know. We're going out of the normal order. The father should come second. Who comes second? A daughter. Why? V'havarta. Okay? Interesting. It's very interesting. That Barbanel says, now, he lived before the Klei Chemda, so obviously he couldn't be addressing the Klei Chemda, but he says, no, the fact that v'havarta is used by a daughter is not, it doesn't, there's no special, he says, we have a pasuk that says, v'havarta kol peter rechem. You pass over the money to the Kohen when you're doing Pidyon HaBen, or Pidyon HaBehemoth, right? B'chor Behemoth. There's no special lashon in the word v'havarta. So why did the Torah say v'havarta? Because if you're giving it to a daughter, the property will be lost to the family. Why? Because she'll get married, and then it goes to her family. So it gets lost from the family. That's why the Torah uses the word v'havarta. It's passing out of the family. It's going to a daughter, and it's passing away. It's going to go to a... It's going to go to... Oh, so that... What? That brings us to... I was talking about it before the shiur started. Why don't... If someone has five children, one son and four daughters, Min HaTorah, who inherits? The son. Four daughters get zero. Why? That's what the Torah says. It's not fair. As I said before the shiur, this is one of the areas where the Torah gets really, really hammered. People that don't like the Torah, they want to criticize that this is open season for criticism. It's not fair, it's sexist, it should make women feel inferior. Now, we know none of that is true. So I have the Sefer over here, it's not Sefer, it's a book, called The Jewish Law of Inheritance. I'm sure we'll be using it a lot, because it's how to get around all these problems, and halachically, how to give a will, and how to make sure that the girls are included. In the Torah society, you were alluding to this, in the society in the olden days, it was possible to have a society built around this type of system. Today, it's very, very difficult. Not that it's not fair, it's difficult. Women work. It's a whole different society. Women work today. They didn't work today. They're not cared for the same way they used to be cared for. So to shut out girls, it's not so practical always. Not that it's not fair. It's not practical. So he says, why is it that they did that? So he writes, some suggested that the reason why the Torah did it, was because the Torah did not want the Yerushas leaving the Shvatim. Torah didn't want your property in Shevet Zvulun, you're going to give it to your daughters, they're going to marry boys from Shevet Dan, and then what's going to happen? The property is going to end up becoming Shevet Dan. Why? Because their husbands are from Shevet Dan, and the Mishnah said that when a woman dies, her husband inherits. And even if the husband dies first, her son will inherit. And her son is going to be from Shevet Dan. Why? Because that goes after your father. So all the property that was in Shevet Zvulun for 1,000 years is now switching to Shevet Dan. Why? Because the daughters are inheriting. The Torah didn't want that. So the Torah said girls don't inherit. All right, if there's no boys, then we have to give it to the girls. So he writes as follows. He writes, however, for various reasons, this explanation is not tenable. So that's not what's wrong. He says, the reason why it's wrong, two reasons. First of all, the din that a daughter doesn't inherit applies to everything, not just the Eretz Yisrael. If it applied only to Eretz Yisrael, I hear such a svara. But it applies to everything. It applies to cash, it applies to property in Woodmere, it applies to everything. So to say that doesn't make any sense. Stechuzah, that could make a little bit of sense. That does make sense. He said, second of all, he's talking about how to restrict who you can marry. So the Torah did restrict Benos Lovchad from marrying whoever they wanted. They were only allowed to marry within their Sheva. That was only a one-shot deal. Everyone else can marry whoever they want.
Yeah, once it's inside, it's inside.
No, but there was never a rule like that you can only marry with inside. So that can't be the concern. That's what he's saying. That can't be the concern. So what is it? He says it's a chok. It's a chok. Why don't girls inherit? He said it's a chok. He says, whatever the reason, between male and female, with regard to the law of inheritance, what has been said before about the position of women in Judaism, he has a whole 5 pages how they're such put up on a pedestal. It cannot be said that the Torah considers the Jewish woman to be in a rank below the Jewish man. This becomes the more apparent when we consider the... Okay, then he says, therefore, all these considerations show that we must hear in front are one of the mysteries of the divine law, which transcend human understanding, and which is expressed in the Torah by the term chok mishpat, mentioned before. Basically, it's a chok. That's what he says. I don't know. Maybe we'll get to it over the next month. A little bit of a reason, maybe. I don't know. That's what he says. It's a chok. It's Diane Grunfeld. He's a famous author. He's a very Jewish thinker. Here's a picture of him with the long white beard. So he's a famous guy, right? Yeah, it's Kosher to read now. No, he has it's fascinating. He has in the back, the Yisrael Moshe Chazan, he was the chief rabbi of Rome in the 1800s. He wrote a book, how to try to figure out, already in the 1850s, he was already figuring out a way how girls should be able to share in the Yerusha. Somehow with making wills, a whole story. He actually has a text of a will in the back of his book, a text of a will that's kosher lahalacha, according to, I guess, you know, his whoever he asked, and to try to make it more the women, the girls should be able to inherit. This guy, this Yisrael Moshe Chazan, he sent it to one of the people in the Vatican, what they think of it. And the guy wrote a haskama, his brother wrote a haskama, and the haskama is in this back of this book in English, translated from Italian. It's wild. I think it's called Sefer Nachlas. It's for Yisrael Moshe Chazan, wrote Sefer Nachlas, and in the back of this book is a translation of the priest's haskama to the book, because he was avoiding. He said, "I don't have to hold from ecclesiastical courts regarding inheritance. I'm allowed to avoid it all because we're Jewish. We don't hold from it." And a whole lamdash haskama. So the brother writes the whole haskama back. It's fascinating, fascinating stuff. Okay. So, oh man. Okay. So back to the Gemara. So. We said that the fact that your father inherits you is a drasha. What's the drasha? My drasha. What's the drasha? The Tanya. She'ero. It says the pasuk. The full pasuk says, "V'im ein achim la'aviv." If there's no achim to the father, v'nasata masnachalaso she'ero karveilov. You give it to the next relative. Who's that? That's she'ero zehav. Malamed. From here we see she'av kodem la'achim, that a father comes before brothers. The Rashbam says that the whole Seder is out of order, and the father really comes first. The father really comes second. Yachal, I would think, Yehei Kodem LeBen. If that's true, then a father should come before a son. Why isn't the father number one? Talmud Lomar, Hakarov. It says not Hakarov. Karov Kodem. We do it by order of who's a closer relative, right? Who's a closer relative? A son is a closer relative. Why is a son a closer relative? Why? Uma rois l'rabo tes ha-ben u'lohoti es ha-och. Maybe a brother is a closer relative. Why is a son a closer relative than a brother? Why? Marvani es ha-ben. You know why a son's a closer relative? Shekein kam tachas aviv liyada. Because a son can stand in the shoes of a father regarding yiyud. Yiyud is when you take an amma ivriya. As a servant, you take an amma ivriya, right? And you have the right, when you buy her, you have the right to marry her. And the purchase price of the amma is the kesef kedushin. You can also give that to your son. You can give the amma to your son. You can give the amma to your son, right? You can't do that to your brother. So what do you see? A son's closer. Also, ulstei achuza. The halacha is that if you donate land to the Beis HaMikdash, you can redeem it. Your son also can redeem it for you. A foreign person can't, a brother can't. Only your son. So what do you see? A son's number one. Why? He's the closest one. Says the Gemara, Adrabah, just the opposite. Marbeni is ha'ach, a son's closer. You know why? She came kam tachas avav li'ibum. Because a brother can perform ibum. Right? A brother can perform ibum. But the other one, there are two. Here's only one. The Gemara doesn't give that answer. So the Gemara says, why doesn't the fact that you have yibum beat the other two? So the Gemara says, very simple. Klum yesh yibum el makam she'ein ben. The only time yibum kicks in is when you don't have a son. What do you see? A son's for sure better than a brother. Son's closer. Well, if you have a son, there is no yibum. Right? But makam she'yesh ben, ain't yibum. When you have a ben, there is no yibum. Right? And Tosfos says even a step further. A son, when you have a son, you are the Zera Achiv. You are the Kayim. You are being Makayim Zera of your father. In order for a brother to do that, he has to first marry the girl. Then have a son. It's a further step removed. So obviously a son beats a brother. Right? Push it. Right. So Tos Chaim asks, if that's true, then why did the Gemara say, you know why a son beats a brother? Because a son, there's no Yibum. The Gemara doesn't give that as one of the reasons. That's the third thing, that a son beats a brother. Why does a son beat a brother? The son has no Yibum. If there's no son, then there's Yibum. So what do you see? That's the answer. It's not the question. Right? Okay. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute. Look at the bottom line. The bottom line of the Rashbam. Alma, what do you see? Afilu gabe yibum. Even when it comes to yibum, kam haben tachas aviv, tve me'achi aviv. A son beats a brother, right? Shari potter osov imenu. Because now the son pafters yibum from happening. So what do you see? A son beats a brother. What? Oh, they talk about that. So does a bas. Exactly. In a chanami. Which is why a bas comes before a brother. Why? Because she also pafters yibum, right? The other two don't apply. Tosfos says another thing applies, that little Tosfos, that one line, Huadin Tadimakal Lamenka Nami Levit Ivri, that you yarish in an Evit Ivri also. A son takes over the Evit Ivri. If a master dies, the Evit Ivri does not go free. Right? He goes to the son. I would say, what do you mean? Why should he go to the son? It's an Evit Ivri, not Evit Kanani. Evit Kanani is property. He's not like that. And the Kanami still goes to the son. So another area. Anyway, now the Gemara says, wait a minute. Taima, the whole reason you give me a pshat was the ikka high pircha, because I had this answer about yibum. Ha lav hachi. What about if I didn't have this answer about yibum? Still, two beats one. No, half amina ach adif. I would have thought a brother's better. Why? Typically, the hachatarti v'hachachada. One's two and one's one. What are the two? Steachuza and yiud. And what's the other one? Yibum. So you told me no, yibum doesn't even count. Why doesn't it count? Because if there's a son, there is no yibum. But I have a better reason than that. Two beats one. So the Gemara says, no. Steachuza gufa mihai taima hu deka kaimale. That we know that steachuza is allowed to be redeemed by a son because we know that a son will pater yibum. So it's really the same thing. That less latana klom yeshim el makom ben. El makom she'ein ben. Ha yesh ben, ein yibum. If there's a ben, there is no yibum. So I know the steachuza. From where? I only know Steachuza from the fact of Yibum. So it's not really two against one. So they're one against one, and therefore I had the reason of Yibum to reinforce the fact that a son beats a brother. Son beats everybody. Son beats a father too. Because I think we've covered everything for the first daf. We'll stop here. And today's show is sponsored by the Yastreb family. Refuah Shleima for Itl Bas Esther Malka. She should have Refuah Shleima. And we will resume tomorrow. Everybody have a good day.